another one that you don't know. I'm good at that.
I had none.
What a thought, what a song. Aren't you glad for the hope? I'm glad it's not a hope-so, it's a no-so hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else? The Lord.
I forgot to mention one thing. All this, no charge.
Amen. That makes it even better, don't it? When, praise the Lord. Amen. Glory. Anyone else? Praise the Lord, the first and last. Amen. Anyone else? Y'all have blessed my heart this morning. Lord, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn. I want to read two places this morning. First of all, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And I want to read out of 2 Corinthians, 5 and verse 10. Hebrews 9, 2 Corinthians 5. You find your place if you would stand. Find your place, say amen. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to start reading at verse 9. "Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings and your goodness. We're so thankful this morning, Lord, that we can call upon you. And God, I'm so thankful that we're able to come and worship you. We're able to come to the house of the Lord, and we're able to sing praises to you, and we're able, Lord, to receive the blessings that you give us. And Father, now that I'm so thankful that one day that every one of us in here will stand before you, we'll be judged of the things that we do. Lord, lots of times we focus on the bad, but I want to focus on the good part of standing in judgment this morning at the judgment seat of Christ, if our sins are under the blood, and we'll stand as a child of God, that we'll stand before you justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we stand before you, God, that we'll stand redeemed and saved throughout all eternity. God, I'm so thankful of that this morning. And Lord, it as we stand and receive the things that we have done in the body, that brings glory and honor to you. Lord, thank you for that hope. Lord, we ask you now to bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't think I've ever preached on this, what I'm preaching on this morning. I want to preach a message entitled Heaven's Crowns. The first mention of crown in the New Testament is a crown of thorns. We see that a crown of thorns was platted and placed on Jesus' head in the Bible in Matthew 27, Mark 15. But also, I was thinking in Genesis chapter 3, and you remember when man, Adam and Eve, sinned, one of the punishments for sin was that the curse of the thorns and thistles. It was placed on man when he sinned in the garden. And that curse came all the way down. Jesus was platted with the crown of thorns. Just as the nails drew the blood out of his feet and his hands, them thorns drew blood out of his head. And, you know, the next mention then of the word crown, that this word in the New Testament is Paul, talks about a victor's crown that be received in glory. And at the judgment seat of Christ, when we stand before God, he says here that we will be, everyone receive the things done in his body. What we've done in our body for Jesus Christ. That's all that's going to stand. That's all that's going to matter. All the other things that we've done, everything else we've accomplished is going to burn up and won't mount to a hill of beans, but it's what we have done for Jesus Christ, as when we stand before Him, is what's going to be brought up. Amen. The Bible speaks of five crowns. And I want to, this morning, the word for crowned is Stephanos. It's a source of the name of Stephen the martyr. It means a badge or of royalty, a prize in the public games, in the Grecian games. It's generally a symbol of honor. And the Bible speaks of five crowns. Oh, and these crowns that they made in the Greek games was corruptible. When they made them up, they made them out of garland, pine, and different things. But they'd soon wither. They'd soon decay. But Jesus said, we're getting a crown incorruptible. Moth and rust can't touch it. Nothing can bother. It's an incorruptible crown that'll last throughout all eternity. Praise the Lord. I want to share with you the five crowns this morning. The first one that we see is the incorruptible crown. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, the Bible says, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. This is also known as the victor's crown. The incorruptible crown given to believers who faithfully run the race is the ones that is why that we worship, why we're at church today. We're running the race faithfully. Why we come pull ourselves back out Sunday nights? Why we pull ourselves out Wednesday nights? Why we come to pray? Why we go visit? Why we do the things we do is because we're faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I think I'd share, he didn't say I've danced a good dance. I've played a good game. I've sung a good song. He said, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Then there's that crown, he said, talked about, that's laid up for me. Being faithful. See, this incorruptible victor's crown is for those that show up. Those that do the things of God. Those that get their Bible down. Those that pray every day. Those that encourage. Those that visit. Those that do the things God has laid upon their hearts that's faithful to the cause of Christ. A lot of folks go through life and we make plans and goals. And that's good. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And a lot of folks will go to a financial advisor, and he will go through a plan, and he'll say, you need to put this much, this much, this much, you need this much by now, and when you get to this age, then you'll be able to retire, and you'll have this much coming in every month. That's planning for the future. That's wise. We plan for Bible school. Now, June the 9th, Wilma's not going to be wringing her hands and wondering what in the world's going on because she's been planning for about 6 or 8 weeks now. And everything's going to be... That's wise. These things, when we plan, is wisdom. And go. What would it be? And why could we not go ahead and plan for eternity? Go ahead and start making plans right now. Go ahead and start working on the future. Go ahead and start nailing some stuff down and getting it prepared for when we go into glory. See, I'm so afraid. I heard there was a song years ago that said, I want my life to be so that when I get to heaven, there's no big change. Where we can step right on in and carry on what we've been doing. I'm afraid there's a lot of folks that's going to be a big change. See, there's a danger of losing these crowns. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Glory! Hallelujah! I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. It's laid up for you. And it's laid up for me. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Matthew 10:22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." I want you to hear this. "But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." He didn't say might be saved. Well, I'm wondering about it. He said it shall be saved. This is the victor's crown. This is what you get for hanging in there. This is what you get for holding on when tough gets tough. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. I'm not just in to gathering stuff for me. I'm going to share something later on. But I tell you, I want when I go in, I've always liked to win. Rhonda won't even play Monopoly with me. She says, "Tim, that's not real money." I'm usually the banker. When I get to heaven, I want to come in. I don't want to get in by the skin of my teeth. I mean, I want to get there, don't get me wrong. But I want some treasures laid up. I want some folks when I walk through the gate. There's Brother Tim. He was there when I needed him. He encouraged me when I was down. He prayed for me when I was sick. He brought me a meal when we didn't have much to eat. He took care of, brought us groceries. That's the way I want to be remembered. I want to lay stuff up. The victor's crown. See, there's no place to quit. There's no place, there's no retirement plan for believers in the Bible that I see. And when we get older, some folks think, "Well, I've done my work." No. This may change, but they still work to carry on. And it may be that God's blessed and blessed with a good retirement and good money and blessed you through the years so that you could be a blessing in your end days. No place to quit. I want to look at the second crown is the crown of rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19 and 20. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy." See, this is the crown of rejoicing or the soul winner's crown. Now, let me ask you something this morning. Why did God save you? Why did He send the best heaven had to offer and send down? Did He do all of that just so I could be saved? He did it so I could be saved. But it don't stop there. He did it so I could be saved and I could enjoy the splendors of glory and I could go to heaven, but also that I could lead others. That I could carry on the work that's been carried on through the years. All the work the apostles started. All down through the ages, the folks that has carried that gospel. And has carried to the next one. And has laid it on to the next one. And it's come right on down to the line. And it fell on me. I would be a horrible, horrible person if I just stopped right there and I said, well, I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be on my way to heaven. And I'm happy with us four and no more. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? How many remembers in the book of Kings a story of there was four lepers, and the thing was so bad in Samaria that they were starving to death. They were selling dove dung. And not get too descriptive, we all know what dung is in the Bible. They were selling it to eat. They were starving, literally starving to death. And there was four lepers, and they said, we're going to die. It don't matter. If we stay here, we're going to starve to death. If we go into Jerusalem, they're liable to kill us because we can't get around the folks. Let's just go to the enemy. They might give us something to eat. So they went to this, I believe it was the Assyrians. And when they got to the camp, God had already been working, Brother Richard. He'd sent a sound, and they all got scared and left. These four lepers walked in. They went in the first tent and got full. They left out of it, went in the second tent and got full. They said, glory, hallelujah. And then one of them said, what we're doing is not good. People back in Jerusalem starving to death, and we're here eating. Let's go tell them. Let's go share the good news that we have, and that God's blessed us, and God's made a provision, and that we don't have to starve to death. We don't have to die. We don't have to go down to the way of everybody else. He's made a different provision. And he said, let's go tell. Well, glory, hallelujah. I tell you this morning, I've been saved, and I'm on my way to heaven. Let's go tell somebody. Glory, hallelujah. Boy, I'm so thankful they some people told me. I'm so thankful when I was down and out and I knew there were some people loved me and told me about Jesus. I'm so thankful God sending a preacher out on a job. And he got to talking to me. And Ron and I made a turn right then. And ain't been the same since. See, it's crowns for those who faithfully are witnesses to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That we witness day in and day out, leading souls to the Lord. How long has it been since you've led somebody to the Lord? I don't know about you, but I'm in a long dry spell. And I don't like it. I'm in a dry spell. I ain't got to lead nobody to the Lord in a while. I tell you, one of my problems, see, I didn't make goals this year. Most of the time at the first of the year, let me win 12 people to the Lord this year. Let me win one a month. And back when I prayed that prayer, God answered. I hadn't been praying it. I noticed I hadn't been praying it lately. I hadn't been winning nobody to the Lord lately. See, these things just don't happen. Church just don't happen. Bible school just don't happen. Retirement just don't happen. It's things we got to plan for. And build up and work on. Who are you leading? Who are you working on to lead to the Lord? I've shared with Brother J.M., and he knows three or four guys in this community I'm working on. I've been working on building up relationships and working on for years. One day, glory, hallelujah, I done see it coming. I'm going to get the opportunity. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I looked at this and thought of this and studied on it a little bit. And he said the wise will blend in with the rest of the stars. The wise will be as the light of the firmament. And you go out at night, and I don't know about you, but I just love to go out and look at the stars. It impresses me. My imagination goes wild. And you think and you look at those stars and they all and but you'll see one over here distinct and flickering a little different and a little brighter and something different and strange about it. He said the wise is going to be like you just go out and look at stars, but now the soul winners, that's going to be that and flickering. That's going to be that, and it's got the different distinction that draws your eyes to it. This came right from the prophet Daniel, and he said, as the stars forever and ever. Glory, hallelujah. When God makes up His jewels, that He says in the book of Malachi, the soul winners are going to have an extra sparkle to them. They're going to be something a little different about the soul winners. I don't know if you've ever been, and me, I've been associated with preachers and a lot on the national stuff. I've been associated with some soul winners. I'll tell you what, these folks intrigue me. I've never had what they've got. Bob Shockey. I know Rhonda remembers him. A Free Will Baptist evangelist. Wow. One of the greatest soul winners in the Free Will Baptist denomination. He talked about being on the elevator. Just on the elevator with some folks, and they come up and they was getting off on the floor. And he said, you can get off here or you can stay on here and go on to heaven with me. He used everything that he did to get someone's attention to try to win them to the Lord. That's a soul winner. See, these folks are special in the eyes of the Lord. Now, He loves us all, but what was His purpose? To save souls, to reach souls. And when we get the heartbeat and the taste that He has for souls, He's going to bless us. He's going to bless our work. This is the soul winner's crown. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. Praise the Lord. Are we soul winners this morning? Is that on our heart? How much of our prayer is for people's souls? We ought to have a list. We ought to have a target. And I don't mean, I hope it don't come across, but we ought to have people we're targeting that God's put in our lives that needs the Lord. And we ought to have our eyes set on that target and take every opportunity that we could to win that one to the Lord. Praise the Lord. How long has it been since we've led someone to the Lord? I tell you what, there's nothing like a new convert to get a congregation excited. The third crown. Now I'll go over this and then we'll finish it up tonight. So you'll have to come back. I'm not going to tell you the last two to you till tonight. The crown of life. In James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This is also known as the martyr's crown. We might say, Brother Tim, I don't want one of them. There's a lot of trouble and tribulation, and even death comes with the martyr's crown. It's the crown for those believers who endure trials, tribulations, severe sufferings, and even death. There's been many of the apostles, all of them but John, went this way. If you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, we see a lot of Polycarp and so many that they burned at the stake and they did so many different things. We've got brothers and sisters right now around in other parts of the world that's dying for their faith. It may come to us. In Columbine, in the shooting, the guy aimed the gun on that girl and said, wanted her to denounce Christ, and she wouldn't do it. I believe she received the martyr's crown. She stood her ground. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Praise the Lord. Acts 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, this is Stephen, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I'll tell you what, if you don't think Jesus won't stand for you, you're sadly mistaken. If you'll do and carry through, He'll stand. He didn't say we'd never be in tribulation. He didn't say that we'd never be broke. He didn't say that we'd never be and have trouble eating. But He did say He'd provide, and He did say He'd be there with us. And if a giver comes to the point where you got to lay down your life for the cause of Christ, and He'll stand, and all heaven will stand in attention, because Jesus came and died for these folks. Glory, hallelujah. It's a crown of life. And a lot of folks has received it. We want to close in Revelation 4, verse 10 through 11. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Is what I was referring to earlier. When I get to heaven, I don't want to just skim in. Jesus has done so much for us, as Jim read and as these verses we heard at the beginning. It's amazing how that ties in. He's done so much. Don't you want to lay a crown at His feet? Boy, He's done so much for me. He gave up so much for me. And when I go in, I don't want to go empty handed. I want to go ahead and have some stuff laid up. And I want to work on it. And I don't want him to say, well, enter in, you're saved. Your works got burned up. But you're saved. Was it Revelation 13 or 14? It says that blessed are they that die in the Lord, and their works do follow them. What you do for the Lord will never be in vain. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much you know that your labor is not in vain. Serve Him faithfully. Trust Him more. Witness more. Because I guarantee you, you won't regret it. I'm yet to hear a person yet. I asked someone just recently, up my Uncle Walt, up in the years, do you regret trusting the Lord? And I always get pretty much the same response. I regret I didn't start earlier. I regret I didn't do more. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful this morning for the blessings. And God, we're so thankful that we can trust you. And Lord, that I just pray that you'll encourage our hearts and help us to strive more and more, not just to win a crown, but Lord, to be a faithful. The Bible says that it's required that stewards be found faithful. And Lord, help us as a church to be faithful, not in the things that really don't matter, the things that's going to pass away, the earthly tangible things, but Lord, help us to be more concerned about the spiritual matters, where our loved ones are going to spend eternity, where this community is going to spend eternity. Help us, Lord, to be more focused on preparing our young people for the ministry and for the work that's ahead, and Lord, for the things of God than just tangible matters. Lord, I pray you'll place a burden on us to be more faithful. And God, I pray right now you'll lay on some of our hearts, and Lord, that how long has it been since we've led someone to you? How long has it been since we have seen someone walk the aisle that's lost and undone? Father, I pray that you'll touch our hearts today, and our prayer and our goal will be more. And Lord, that you would lay on our hearts today someone that needs you. Father, there may be one here that needs you. It's never called upon you, or needs to move forward, maybe kind of start backward. Lord, I pray for that one if there is. And encourage the heart, Lord, that they walk and commit and recommit to you. Lord, we love you today and we praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.